Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 229. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps me highlight the great people that we have on the show. Also want to thank Train Heroic for sponsoring this episode, bringing this episode to you for free. You can check them out. They're actually out based in Denver as well. So Jen's based in Denver.
Woo!
This week I'm joined by Jen Winterstrom. Jen, I got to meet finally at Sornex Summer Strong, but I've followed her from afar for many, many years, and she's a TV personality
in a very non creepy way.
Yeah, in a very non creepy way.
Right.
TV personality, author, just a badass coach, trainer, the whole deal. And so, Jen, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I know you're super busy.
Of course, I'm happy to be here. We're part of the same community, man.
Absolutely. Well, hey, you know, you've been a lot of places. I mean, you were an athlete at KU. You were American Gladiators. You're Biggest Loser. You're out in Denver with the news. Which one of those stops along the way best defines you as a coach, as a person? Where did you grow up the most as what you're doing now?
Oh, wow. What a good question. You know, it's tough because I got to tell you what, I look back 5 years ago. I even look back a year ago and I'm like, who was that chick? Yeah, you know right. What I mean? I feel like I've changed so much year to year. I think as you're younger, there are bigger gaps. It's like, oh, junior high, high school, college, they're kind of grouped into those sections. But as I've gotten into my professional career, I mean, for me, I did a lot of growing up at KU. I don't think I grew up too much on American Gladiators. That was just spandex baby oil and a lot of fun games. But, you know, being in L.A. for 10 years, getting to do Biggest Loser and filling such big shoes, you know, in a way, I grew up so much during that show because I think more than anything, because I got to realize I wasn't filling someone's shoes. I was kind of standing in my own. It was the first time I realized who I was, what I was capable of, and why I could be proud of it. I think one of the biggest things in my life that changed moved the needle for me was my belief in what I had to offer. I'm not better than you, Ron. I'm not trying to compete with you, but I do know I can do me better than anybody else. Exactly. I said that at my speech at Sornex 10, or Summer Strong 10. And I think that once I took ownership of who I am and what I bring to the table, that's where I learned more than anything, because it's exploratory. There's so much discovery in the way I communicate, the way I coach, the way I read people, the way I communicated with you the day I met you. Getting this new job at Daily Blast Live, you know, it's a live television show. I've never done a new show of this kind. But I know what I bring, and it's given me the confidence to go forward and be comfortable in live TV. So I guess answering your question, it's really, I think I grew up the most those several years on Biggest Loser. I think I was 31 to 34. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's such an important lesson for coaches in general, because I mean, as young coaches, we all start off by emulating our mentors and kind of feeling our way through the process. But eventually you have to stand on your own and play your own trail. And I think so much of that is self-discovery.
Yeah. It's funny you said that. Even the first, I was auditioning for Biggest Loser, I think the third time I got the actual job, but the first two I was emulating. I had my hands on my hips. What would Jillian do? What would her tone be? I was doing what I thought they wanted versus just being Jen. And the moment I let go of emulation, don't get me wrong. I've got programs from my college track coach, Doug Reynolds, that I still use and kind of use as a baseline and bounce off of and expand on. But instead of being, you know, I let go of emulation and got rooted in Jen, and that changed everything.
You don't make all those stops without having made some mistakes along the way. What's maybe one of the biggest mistakes you've made and how you learned from it?
I think one is general. one's funny. Now I'm like, God, I should have gotten an Instagram sooner. Because now, like, social media, I'm like, oh, that's so stupid. That won't amount to anything. And now it's like, it's a big part of the way we communicate and reach a greater audience. Like, listen, anybody that knows me knows I'm not a tits and ass Instagram. I try to put up good content and motivation. But what I love it for is the reach. So I wish I started reaching out to people sooner. But the other real one, though, is I still do it. It's a mistake I still struggle with. I really care what people think, probably to a fault. I let it get in my head. I let it create insecurity. I let potential judgment weigh on me and stress me out. And I've gotten better at going past it and saying, okay, Jen, I acknowledge that you're worried, but no, you know, trust in what you've built this far, trust in the relationships you're building, and trust in your own voice. And by the way, decades of experience, and go forward with it. But it's still hard. I let things and people get in my head. I really do. Yeah. That's tough on me.
I think we all do. And I think, you know, what you mentioned first there about, you know, putting yourself out there earlier, I think that's something that I'm always trying to preach to strength coaches in general, because, I mean, so much of what the internet is made up of people that are putting out misinformation and bad information.
Yes.
My argument is always, as a strength coach, is, you know, I was the same way. I was the exact same way. I was like, you know, I wrote in my book that, if you would have told me you sent me a tweet, I would have punched you in the face. I thought it was in the world. So. But there is power in meeting athletes where they're at. If they're on social media, there's power in putting out good information. And if somebody's going to do it, it should be the educated, the coaches that have been doing the craft, that are in the trenches. And
right.
I agree with that so much. What, for you personally, you know, when we all started out, when I started out as a coach, when you started out as a coach, you know, there's lots of coaches, there's lots of trainers. How did you go about accepting that you needed to stand out and be different and put yourself out?
Yeah. You know, the answer to this question is kind of in perfect succession to your last comment, because people need to realize, and a big part of why I've been able to stand out, is to create real connection with people. The reason why there's so much misinformation, whether it's on social media or whatever is out there, is because through social media, these people are feeling connected, right? I mean, look at the Kardashians, for goodness sake. There's millions of people that in one way or another feel connected to them.
Great.
And when you create a connection with someone, right, like you and I did at Soarnex, we built trust, right? Everybody in that room built trust with one another. And once you can build trust, you can lead. And what's happening is, if we as strength coaches and teachers don't build trust, right? If we don't put ourselves out there to create connection, saying, this is who I am, this is my philosophy, I'm a Star Wars nerd. Oh, you're a Star Wars nerd. We are connected now. We build trust, and then I can lead you with the right information. So people, you can't look at it as gimmicky or lame or a waste of time. It's an opportunity for someone to see who you are. And that's what's made me stand out. I mean, I just posted on Instagram this week, me crying on my social media, because, listen, I'm having a hard day. I want you to see that I'm human like you. Yeah. I'm creating a connection. Because that connection's there, we're building trust. And now I can lead them. Maybe it's motivational. Maybe it's on their squats. But they see Jen as a person versus, like, just the someone yelling facts at them. And that's all the difference.
Yeah, I couldn't.
It really is.
And I talk quite a bit about the power of vulnerability as a coach, you know, and such a macho-driven culture, and having to have all the answers, that it's almost robotic when you try to be that way, as opposed to sharing, you know, your day. And I always talk to coaches about, being a husband and being a father and sharing my trials and tribulations in those categories, because I want to demonstrate what a good husband, what a good father does.
Totally. And by the way, vulnerability. Oh, sorry to step on you. Yeah, vulnerability doesn't mean crying on your social media. My coach, again, he was a thrower for the on Team USA, and he was a great lifter, and he did all strength programming. To look over, and Doug would train with us, to look over and see him missing snatches at like 70%, you're like, oh, because by the way, so was I. And I was like, what am I fucking up? Right. Why am I dropping my, why are my positions off? And I'm like, is this normal? He's like, yeah, it's where your nervous system is in our training. Yeah, it's exactly normal. I still want you to move the weight though. Fuck catching it. He's like, I need you to throw far. Don't worry about this right now. And his ability to allow himself to drop his 70%, his ability to come off a barbell dizzy, his ability to be fucking sore and admit it, that he just was being real. And because of that, if Doug told me, eat a carton of raw eggs and run 5 miles before you come lift, I would have done it.
No doubt.
No questions asked. And so that's what I'm saying, vulnerability. And like even just saying, oh yeah, I have children, or oh yeah, my kid's mad at me today about what it creates this opportunity to learn about you. Yeah. And that's kind of special.
Yeah. People got to know, like, and trust you before you can lead anybody. And I couldn't agree more. And
yeah.
On your show, and just watching you from afar, one of the things that I've really been impressed with you is, and more so than maybe even your co-stars and Biggest Losers, you had a great balance of being able to show that vulnerability, but then also have the conversation. And I think most people, especially in today's society, they're not willing to have the tough conversations with people. They either want to make themselves feel better, they want to make the other person feel better. But sometimes you have to break past that point. And what advice would you have for that young coach that hasn't found that ability yet to be able to overcome, the fear of they're not going to like me, or I'm going to drive them away, or whatever it may be. I don't know what that fear is, because I've always been able to have that.
Yeah, it's always a little scary. I mean, listen, Biggest Losers are painting me very, very positive at all times. Don't think I didn't have throwdown fights with my people. Sure. Don't think that there are days that I'm like, I'm working out and I'm like, why am I working out harder than you are? I've got my life together. I'm still working on making it better, but there's no reason I should want it more than you. Sure. There would be F-bombs out of my mouth, which of course we cut. The reality is most of the times when your people close up, if they get quiet, self-deprecating, or even if they get like pissy with you, like they shut down, whether they're verbally rude, or another really common sign is lack of trying. Like I had a guy doing jump rope. He just kept tripping and kept tripping. I was like,
yeah, right.
You know how to jump rope.
Yeah, right.
It's masking something else. It's distract over here, because actually something's going on for me here. And it's a matter of just sitting and saying, I know something's up. And the best way you can find your way in that conversation is personalize it. Think about times in your life when your wall's gone up, when you've been negative, I know it's hard to imagine, but I've been a brat and a bitch sometimes. Sure. And so it's like, what went on for me, and what was I protecting, and what did I not want to reveal about myself? And I would tell you 10 times out of 10, ask hard questions, give them time to answer, give them a safe place to land without judgment. You're going to find that they actually do want to talk about it, but it's just so hard to get to that's why the wall goes up. And that relatability, I tell you, the relatability of saying, listen, I've been there. I see you shutting down. You remind me of myself this time when I was going through X and Y. Don't tell me there's nothing. Let's talk through it. Because if we can, there's a great analogy about you keep going around. There's a log that keeps falling in your path. You keep going around it and traveling around it. You're going to have this pathway that's mucked up. You got to chop through it and move through it. And what that's going to do from a standpoint of empowerment and pride and, whoa, like that wasn't so bad. And look at how great I'm feeling. And now look at the rapport I've created with my coach and the coach, the athlete. I mean, there you go. You know what I mean? When you move those big rocks together, you know, it creates a partnership and a trust and a team that I don't think many other, many other systems connect. I mean, what kind of camaraderie is built outside of whether it's strength training, sports? It's very hard. I don't think book clubs are as diehard teammates as like we are. You know what I mean? Like, there's something about physical movement and physical pain through training and emotional walking up to a barbell. I don't know if I can pick up, and someone's saying, "Of course you can't." You know what I mean? Right. Like, there's something special that goes on, and I use the C word, but CrossFit. That's the one thing they got right. That community, that sense of together, that at the end of this, I got you and you got me, and we came out of this thing together. Right. I think it's pretty special. Awesome. And I learned that decades ago in college, you know?
No, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I mean, tribal community and ingenuity and togetherness is everything. It's so much more than sets and reps. I mean, that's, you know, so much more than sets and reps, and that's what makes you different.
Yeah.
And the great ones.
Yeah.
Different,
you know? Well...
Well, we end the show.
Thing about coaching, you know.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just said that's a sneaky thing about coaching. Is it really about your bench press? No. Is it really about how far I threw in college? You know, my people, like my college track coach. I got to go back to Doug. He believed in me before anybody else did. He helped me. What he taught me, what he invested in me then, has helped me up to this very day. You know, how many over 15 years later? So anyway, what were we gonna say, honey?
Well, absolutely. I was gonna say we end the show with some research. I know you got to get going, but what's the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
Can you see me?
I lost you there. Now I got almost.
Oh, the video stopped. Oh, there we go. Sorry. This is going to sound so pathetic. But it's coaching advice that I kind of gave to myself. I remember when I was training, I didn't allow, because you can execute what coach tells you. That's easier than most, but it's what goes on inside your head that you really present for myself. If I was doing, you know, 90% front squats, which I hate, but even thought about skipping a rep or thought about going shallow, I'd add a rep, period. If I stopped short and dropped it, I repeated. I always thought if I allowed myself to cut that corner, it will show up. And when I lose at my competition or wherever it is, it's on me. Because I chose to skip and I chose to be weak. So it's not my words, but the way you do anything, I cut away. So that, it sounds terrible. It was kind of myself enlisted, but that's what I would say. You've got to, the number one person you have to be accountable to is yourself, because you're the one that knows the reps you skipped, and you're the one that knows when you cheated, and all it's going to do is cheat your confidence out there when it matters. I don't care if your sport is throwing like me, basketball, or fucking tennis. It will show up, and it's going to be here in that mental breakdown when the going gets tough.
No, I agree with you. Give us and we'll link up your book and website and everything as well. Give us the book, app, website recommendation.
Oh, wow. Okay, so ironically, I was at this event called Rockstock. It was put on by Rock Tape, full of chiropractors, body movers, personal trainers, athletic trainers. And I got this book called Conscious Coaching. Yep. And two of my good friends, Gunnar Peterson and Adam Bornstein, both highly recommended the book. And now Mr. Bartholomew, I think I'm saying his name right, was the author of this book. And it's funny because I'm reading it and it's exactly what I'm talking about communicating. So you can know sets and reps all you want. If you want to get your athlete to commit to you and commit to themselves, it's a great book to read. And then a great app that I'm using. What's a good one lately? I nerd out with any kind of sleep cycle app. I like to know. It kind of helps me measure when I'm going to bed, how many hours I'm getting. Lately, as busy as I am, I'm losing muscle. Like, this is the first time I've been in like the 130s in a decade. And maybe, I don't know. And like consistently, you know what I mean? And I'm losing muscle. I'm not getting enough food in. And the sleep app has helped me really sustain my recovery there. And because of it, my appetite's been better, my training's been better, and it's really been, it's done a, did a world of difference for me.
No, that's awesome. Well, Jen, I know you're extremely busy, especially with everything that's happening in the world right now. But I mean, I love having people on the show that balance being more than just the meathead strength coach in there counting to 10 every day. I love the people that can get out, that engage the world and meet, you know, there's a good verse in the Bible that talks about you don't throw a light into the light, you throw a light into the darkness. And you're going where people don't typically want to go, to encourage people to do what they don't want to do. And it's so important and needed in this world. And I just appreciate what you stand for and how you do it. And thanks for coming on the show.
Oh my God, dude, thank you so much. I mean, the reality is we're all peers. Anybody that's in this movement community, we care about the same things. And I'm not interested in competing with anybody, but more so contributing to the greater good, contributing to us being able to really change. Dude, when we're united as a community, we change the world. Right. Just anybody listening, if you need support, I'm at Jen Wiederstrom, or you can get a hold of me through Ron on all my social media. And make sure you just keep up with me, and I got your back.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to link all that up. Thanks so much.
Thank you, babe.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.